Tremendous thank you to Seth and to Emily and to all the Gertzberg family members for setting up and bringing all the food and bringing us together to learn Torah. You know, one of my favorite Divrei Torah on the Haggadah is a word from my father's Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik points out that the Haggadah begins with the declaration, Halach Ma'anya, this is poor man's bread, Diachalu Avasana Ba'ar de Mitzrayim, that our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt, called Dichven Yesevi Yechol. Anyone who's hungry, come and eat. Called Ditzrich, anyone who still needs, Yesevi Yifsach, let him come and participate in our Karban Pesach. Hasha Tahacha, now we are here. L'shana Haba Ba'arad Yisrael, we'll be in the land of Israel. Hashta Avde, now we are slaves. L'shana Haba B'nei Chorin, next year we'll be free. So Rav Soloveitchik points out, it does seem curious that we begin the Haggadah with inviting guests. Anyone who's hungry, let him come join us. Why would that be the right way to begin the Seder meal? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that we know that the Greek philosophers were very concerned that human beings eat and animals eat. So what is it about our eating that makes us different than the animals? They also eat. So what will humanize eating? How will eating be something which is a display of the greatness of human beings over the animals? So to resolve that problem, the Greek philosophers were embarrassed about eating. They wouldn't eat in public. They created etiquette. You know, in modern days, there's etiquette. There are all sorts of rules of how to eat. You know, with a fork and a knife, you hold it this way, you hold it that way. All of that is to show that we're not like the animals. We're not just indulging our appetites, but we are elevated. Said Rav Soloveitchik, halacha was never into etiquette. You know, it was assumed people ate with their fingers. But what in halacha elevates the act of eating? The answer is by sharing with other people. So when we begin the Seder night, the very first thing we say is, this is a halachic meal, and so this is a meal of sharing. The definition of a free person is the ability to care about someone else and do for someone else. A person who's a slave is just under so much pressure to survive, he can't think about anyone else. So Seder night, it's the night we're free. Right away we begin with, we're sharing with others. Kol dichven yesev yechol. Anyone who's in need, let him come and eat. And then Rav Soloveitchik added another element, the other part of what makes a meal an elevated experience and not just indulging in the stomach, is that halacha says we should take advantage of the meal to teach Torah during the meal. There's the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that when three people are sitting and eating and there's Divrei Torah between them, the Shekhinah is also there amongst them. The meal should be an opportunity to teach Torah. We're bonding by eating together. Let's teach Torah together. So Seth, I think like whenever we get together, you feed us a meal and it's a chesed and we get to learn Torah together. So, you know, in according to Rav Soloveitchik's criteria, this is literally what elevates food, what elevates the act of eating. So we're extremely thankful, Yashar Koach, and Tizkei L'Mitzvos. So I wanted to share some little nuggets about the Seder and about the night of the Seder to hopefully give us some inspiration and chizuk and excitement about this amazing night that, God willing, we're going to have in a little bit more than, a little bit less actually, than a week and a half. So first, I want to share a classical thought, and that is that Seder night is all about reaching a great level of emunah in Hashem. I mentioned this last year, that if you look at some of the questions of Seder night, they never get an answer. So for example, the Gemara says, why do we do karpas? Why do we dip a vegetable into salt water or vinegar, or, according to the Rambam, into charoses? So the Gemara says, lasas hekera latinokos kadeshi yishalu, to do something unusual for the children, that they should ask questions. And they follow up karpas right away with manashtana, one of the questions of manashtana. All other nights we don't dip at all. This night we're dipping twice. But we never answer that question. You look at the Haggadah never says, and this is why we dip twice. You never get an answer. You have in the Haggadah a whole story about we were initially slaves, we were initially idol worshippers, Hashem took us out, plagues against the Egyptians, the miracles at the Red Sea. We have, you know, the reason for Pesach, the reason for Matzah, the reason for Maror. And then we start saying Hallel. We never say, when the reason why we dip twice is this. We never say. We never give an answer. So why ask a question if we're not going to give an answer? And the truth is, you know, I mentioned last year, if you go through the Chagadja, in Chagadja, you get to a conclusion that's absurd, right? The goat is presumably the Jewish nation, because, you know, goat is purchased with two silvers, so the Trezuze, that's the Jewish nation, that are purchased with the two luchos, the two tablets. Comes the cat and bites the goat, that would be Paro, who comes and harms the Jewish nation. So now the dog who bites the cat, that's good, right? He's the guy fighting the enemy of the Jewish people. The stick who hits the dog is bad. He's on the side of the cat. He's on the side of those who harm the Jewish people. The fire that puts out the that burns up the stick is therefore good. The water that puts out the fire is bad. The ox who drinks the water is good. The slaughterer who slaughters the ox is bad. The angel of death who kills the slaughterer is good. And Hashem is, I can't even say it. So you go through the Chagadja, you end up with an absurd conclusion. It seems that in Chagadja that the angel of death is good. And that the Almighty is, we can't even say. So how do we do that? The answer is that through the Seder night, we strengthened our faith in Hashem. The theme of Seder night is the miracles that Hashem did for us. And as the Ramban tells us in the end of Parshas Bo, there are all sorts of heresies out there. There are people who say there is no creator and the world always existed. There are people who say God made a world, but he's so big, he's so grand, he's not watching what's going on in this world. There are people who say God's watching what's going on in this world, but he doesn't get involved. You know, he gives people the chance to mess it up. He gives nature the ability to do its things. God doesn't run every detail of the world. These are all different types of heresies. And so the Almighty performed the great feats of taking us out of Egypt to disprove all of these heresies. If, for example, the Nile River water turns into blood, you see, And it does so on the say-so of a prophet who says God is going to turn it into blood, and then it turns into blood. Then you see that God created a world, because God can suddenly make water into blood. So he also made the water in the first place. He created a world. It's not the world was always. The world always existed. If the world always existed, it can't change. No one can transform it. But if God is transforming things, obviously the world didn't always exist. It's dependent on God. He made it, and he can change it. So you see, he's the creator. But not only is he the creator, he's the creator and he's watching. He knows exactly what's going on. And when he feels necessary to get involved, he does get involved. He's watching and he's involved in every moment. So the miracles of the Exodus, the 10 plagues and all the things that happened, they confirm the principles of Jewish faith. They disprove the various heresies that exist. And says the Ramban, God's not going to perform a set of miracles for every little heretic. And every heretic who says, listen, I don't believe, you got to show me. So now God's going to suddenly start changing nature for him. God doesn't want to get involved for every heretic. So God performed great miracles once, but he wants us to remember that he did these miracles. So then we can tell the heretics, you know, not that long ago, I heard from my father, heard from his father who was there, that these are the miracles that God did. And that way the heretics are disproven. And that's the reason why there's so many aspects of remembering leaving Egypt. We wear tefillin to remember leaving Egypt. We have a mezuzah on the door to remember leaving Egypt. We say Shema to remember leaving Egypt. We have all these reminders and Seder night and everything about matzah and chametz and not to break the bones of the Karban Pesach and to eat the Karban Pesach in a group and to eat it in a family home and not to take it from place to place. All of these aspects are all reminders about the details of what happened when we left Egypt so as to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our emunah. And once we have emunah in Hashem, we can live with lots of questions. A person who has emunah can have questions and he doesn't know. I can't know. I'm just a human being. Hashem knows much more than me. I just have emunah. I just have faith. And that's what we get on Seder night. On Seder night, we walk away with emunah. And once we walk away with emunah, we can live with all sorts of questions. So this is the big theme of Seder night. What an amazing, amazing night to walk away with tremendous emunah. The Maharal in Gvuras Hashem, chapter 60, says there's so many aspects of Korban Pesach that are to remind us of faith in Hashem. For example, the Torah says that what type of a sheep should you use? Set tamim, a whole sheep, zachar, male, ben shana yelachem. It has to be 1 year old. It can't be 2 years old. It can't be 3 years old. 1 year old. And not only that, we are told the bayis echad yeachel. It has to be eaten in one home. It can't be eaten in two homes or three homes. Etzem lo tishbru bo. You can't break the bone. The bone has to stay whole. The bones of the Korban Pesach have to be whole. Don't break them into two pieces or three pieces. So why all these themes of one? Eat it in one house. It has to be 1 year old. You can't break the bone of the Korban Pesach into two or three pieces. Says the Maharal, all of these ones are to remind us that there's only one. There's only Hashem. He's the creator of everything. It's not as if that there's Him and other powers. There's just Him. There's one creator. And the theme of Seder night is to walk away with emunah and Hashem. So what happens at the very end of the Seder? The very end of the Seder, when everybody's falling asleep, we have Nirtza. So the Hasidim say Nirtza is the highest point of the Seder. At Nirtza, it's God saying, oh, I love it. Ratsui, you're desired. I love it. You've achieved the goal. So we sing the songs at the very end of the Seder. What's the song that we sing, second to last song? Echad mi yodea. Who knows one? We say, okay, one is Hashem. Who knows two? Two are the luchos. Who knows three? Three are the avos, the fathers. Who knows four? Four are the mothers. Why do we end with who knows one? Because we want to make sure that we got the message of the Seder. The message of the Seder is belief in the oneness of Hashem, that Hashem is running this world, Hashem is taking care of every aspect of this world, and there's only one Creator, and He's totally in charge of everything. That's the theme of the Seder. In fact, Chassidim say, I saw Rabbi Elimelech Biederman says, Seder is Rashi Tevos. It stands for Sod Dalid Reish, the secret of Dalid and Reish. We believe in Hashem Echad, in one God. The nations of the world, they have El Acher, another foreign lord. In other words, they have a foreign God. They don't believe in the one God. The difference of Dalet and Reish, we are about Hashem Echad, God is one. Echad mi Yodea, do you know the secret of one? And they're all about El Acher, about a connection to, you know, all sorts of heresies. So really thinking about the Seder, think about the great miracles and how Hashem is running this world. It's all about feeling a tremendous sense of emunah. And the feeling of emunah is to realize that Hashem runs every single detail of this world. One of the ideas of Karpas is to eat a vegetable, in particular to have a vegetable at the Seder. Why a vegetable? So one of the classical ideas is that this is springtime, Chag Aviv. Right? This year we had a leap year. We had another month of Adar to push off Pesach, so that Pesach would get into spring. And as we saw, there was a lot of snow in the months of Adar. So we're trying to get to spring. There was a lot of rain in Israel. Hopefully now it's going to be springtime. Pesach has to be during springtime. So since it's the holiday of springtime, we take a vegetable to remind us that it's Chag Aviv. So why springtime? Says the Medrash, Hayom Atem Yotzim. The Chodesh Aviv, that's the verse. Today you're going out in the month of spring. It says Rashi, V'chilo hayinu yodim be'ezeh chodesh yadu. Don't we know what month it is? It's the month of Nisan. We know that Nisan is spring. Elakach amalem, this is what Hashem is telling them. Ru'u chesed shekom alchem. See the kindness God does for you. Hotzi eschem b'chodesh u'kasher latzeis. He took you out in a month. It's a pleasant month to go out. Lo chama, it's not the summer, which is too hot. V'lo tzina, it's not the winter, which is too cold. V'lo gshamim, it's not raining. It's amazing, right? We've been slaves for 210 years. Our children have been massacred. We've been forced to work to build all these pyramids of the Egyptians. They killed us. They tortured us. They abused us. And Hashem's ready to take us out. So if He takes us out and it's raining, we're going to complain. If He takes us out and it's a little hot, so we're sweating, we're going to complain. But no, Hashem says, no, I'm going to take you out and I'm going to make sure it's going to be springtime. I'm going to make sure it's pleasant too. Every detail Hashem makes sure. He makes sure of every detail. That's what we say. Seder night, there's an order to everything. The Maharal says there's an order to the lack of order. When there are miracles, which is out of order, there's an order to that also. That's the Seder night. There's an order. Hashem is in charge. He's taking care of all the details. And that creates a tremendous feeling of emunah, of trust, and connection to whatever Hashem is doing for us throughout life and in all events of life. There's an amazing vort of the Chassam Sofer about the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, the main mitzvah of Seder night. Yeah, question.
How many years does, when was the first time that the Haggadah was used in Jewish history?
We're not sure who wrote this text of the Haggadah. We know that the moment the Jews were in Egypt, well, we know that there was a translation, but the author of the text of the Haggadah is not clear. Like Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, we know, was the person who did the final edit on the Mishnayos. The Gemara, the edits were done by Ravina and Rav Ashi in the year 500. The Talmud Yerushalmi was done by Rav Yochanan in the year 350. So when was the Haggadah, this format, put into place? And, you know, with the psukim of Parshas Kisavo and the different editions, Vihisha Amda. So it's not so clear. The historians think that the final format of the Haggadah was done by the people who put together the Siddur. So we know that there are two versions of the Siddur. There's the Siddur of Rav Amram Gaon and the Siddur of Rav Saji Gaon. That's Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard. So some say that Rav Amram Gaon put together the Haggadah. However, I heard from my Rebbe that the Mekubalim say something else. The Mekubalim say that Eliyahu HaNavi wrote the Haggadah. That Eliyahu HaNavi, he's the author of the Haggadah. And it's clear that when we were already in Egypt, we already had Karban Pesach. And ever since, every year we had Karban Pesach. And the Gemara talks about certain aspects of the Haggadah that always accompanied Karban Pesach. Well before Rav Amram Gaon, the Gemara speaks about Manishtana, the Gemara speaks about Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, and it speaks about Avodah Mayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim. Rav Gamliel is in a Mishnah talking about you have to explain Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So certainly there were some aspects of the Haggadah already in the times of the Mishnayos. The Hasidim say that the author of the Haggadah was Eliyahu HaNavi. So you ask who put it together, maybe it was Eliyahu HaNavi. So now there's an amazing, amazing thought of the holy Chassam Sofer. May his merit protect us. The holy Chassam Sofer points out that many commentators ask, we have a rule in Jewish law that before we do any mitzvah, we recite a blessing. So before we hear shofar, we recite a blessing. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, blessing you God, King of the world, asher kidshanu b'mitzvosav, who made us holy with his commandments, v'tzivanu, and obligated us, l'shmoa kol shofar, to hear the sound of shofar. Before we read the Megillah, we say, thank you God, creator of the world, who made us holy with his commandments, v'tzivanu, and commanded us, al mikra Megillah. He commanded us to hear the Megillah, or lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, to light the Chanukah candles. We're about to fulfill a mitzvah, the core of the mitzvah of the night, The mitzvah, v'yigadah to levincha b'yom hu leimar. Tell your child on that day, saying, this is what Hashem did for me when I left Egypt. The mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, telling the story of leaving Egypt. And there's no bracha. We don't begin by saying, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kidshanu Mitzvosav Tzivanu, al Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, or L'saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is there no bracha for the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? So here is a vart from the Chassam Sofer. This is amazing. The Chassam Sofer says that on Pesach night, it's not just that we are commemorating that in the past Hashem took us out of Egypt. On Pesach night, we go out of Egypt. Every year on Pesach night, each Jew who prepares himself for it becomes a whole new person. And he gets so elevated spiritually through the experience of the matzah and telling the story and reliving the story that he became now a Jew, and the way he was till now is so much less than the way he is now. It's like being a slave to being a Jew. He goes from being a slave to being a Jew every Pesach night. Every Pesach night you take this quantum leap of spirituality to a whole new level. That now, who I was till now, was a slave. Oh, I want to dedicate all of our learning, that it should be a merit for a young boy, a seventh grader, who just had a brain surgery yesterday, Shimon Simcha ben Pnina Yehudis, l'refua shalema. He should have a refua shalema. So we go from being, you know, slaves to being free every year on Pesach night. Oh, here an amazing thing. When someone goes from being a non-Jew to being a Jew, he has a mitzvah to go to the mikvah, to be tovel in the mikvah. And when does he make the bracha? Asher kitshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu al hatvila? When he comes out. Because when he went in, he wasn't Jewish. He can't say, God, you made us and commanded us on the mitzvah of immersion. He wasn't Jewish. So when he comes out, he recites the blessing. Says the Chasam Sofer, since on Seder night, we are reliving the experience of going from slavery to being free, from being non-Jews to being Jews. When do we recite the blessing? At the end of Magid. At the end of Magid, we say the blessing, Asher Ga'alanu, the Ga'alas Avoseinu, Vohutzianu, Me'avdus L'cheirus, Hashem redeemed us, and redeemed our ancestors, and took us from slavery to freedom, because this is part of feeling this tremendous excitement, the tremendous excitement of we're going literally from slavery to freedom, we're becoming Jews. So Rabbi Elimelech Biederman points out, there's a very interesting halacha, strange halacha, that I taught it this morning in our shul after Shacharis. The halacha is that at the Seder, it should be very luxurious. You should use your best china, your best silverware. The Seder should be opulent. It should look beautiful. So the Maharil writes that if there's a Jewish pawnbroker who has all sorts of utensils that non-Jews have put in his charge because they've taken loans from him, he should use those utensils at the Seder. He should put a table out with all these utensils of china and gold and silver and admire the beautiful utensils. So, such a strange thing. So strange. This is Hashem's table. We're going to use some utensils of a non-Jew. Okay, we're not even using them. We're just admiring them. So the Chassam Sofer says, because the Seder night is so holy, on the Seder night there's such a holiness that comes down, all the impurity of this non-Jew's utensils are lost. And now on this night, we are now on a whole other level. We're on a level where now we're permitted to use them. So we know that we say at the end of the Seder in the songs of Nirtza that the miracle of Yaakov getting the blessings occurred on Seder night. So says the Chassam Sofer, that's why Yaakov was able to use Esav's clothing. Esav had given his clothing to his mother to watch. His mother gives the clothing to Yaakov, and Yaakov wears the clothing to impersonate Esav. How's Yaakov allowed to use clothing that his mother's just watching for somebody else? The answer is that it's Seder night. And on Seder night, there's such a great holiness that the pawnbroker is allowed to put out the utensils of the Gentile that he is, you know, he's watching because the utensil, the Gentile borrowed money from him. So that's why Yaakov Avinu on Seder night could wear the clothing of an Esav, because this is the minhag of the Ma'aril to use the utensils that the Gentile has left over. So according to this, says the Chassam Sofer, maybe this is pshat, but it's such a strange law that on Pesach, chametz is prohibited b'mashu. Normally, when we have a prohibited item falling into a mixture, if you have a great majority, it's annulled. But on Pesach, if you have a little crumb of chametz that falls into a pot of chicken soup, it can be a huge pot, 50-quart pot. The whole chicken soup's prohibited from this one crumb. Why? Why is it that chametz aser b'mashu? It's a huge stringency. So difficult. So difficult. A huge, huge stringency. So why is this the case? You have to be very careful. You know, there's a bakery in Tenafly called Bread. So they make macaroons, but they make it in a kitchen that has chametz. They're making macaroons in the same kitchen with the chametz. So it's scary, you know. You buy macaroons, you think you're getting something for Pesach, but there could be crumbs in it. And on Pesach, if there's a crumb of chametz, it's all prohibited. On Pesach, even a single crumb makes the whole thing prohibited. So why would we have such a law that even a crumb makes something prohibited? It's so extreme. So the Chassam Sofer says, you know why? Because we have to remember that on Pesach, we're going from being non-Jews to Jews. Non-Jews don't have the laws of measurements. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin that a non-Jew is not allowed to steal less than a shavah pruta. Because non-Jews don't have the laws of measurements. The Gemara says in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Yom Yud Beis, Shi'urin, Chatzitzin, Mechitzin, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The laws of measurements is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So on Pesach we have to experience that. We are going from being non-Jews to being Jews. That's where we have to have crumbs, and the crumbs also create a prohibition. It's unbelievable. Seder night, we have a tremendous holiness that's being revealed. A holiness that's making us into totally new people. Yabar Benel asks a question on Manashtana. And Manashtana, we say, Shebechol elos all of the nights, anu ochlim chametzu matzah. We eat chametz and matzah. Halayla zeh, this night, kulo matzah, all matzah. So we have a meal here, a big meal. We have amazing chametz. Where's the matzah? How do we say it? Every night we eat chametz and matzah. We don't have matzah. We have chametz. What do you mean? Every night we have chametz and matzah. So listen to the Abar Benel. Amazing. The Abar Benel points out that when we left Egypt, we have to be so thankful. We got out of a jail. We got out of a wilderness. We were like sick people who were healed. What's the normal law if someone gets out of jail? What carbon does he have to bring? A carbon toda. The carbon toda is unique that it's a lamb, it's a sheep, and it's accompanied with 40 loaves of bread. 30 of them are chametz, and 10 of them, I'm sorry, 30 are matzah, and 10 of them are chametz. Four of the loaves, one of the chametz, and three of the matzah, are burned on the Mizbeach, that's the Haktara, and the other 36 are eaten by the Kohanim. So says the Abar Venel, when we got out of Egypt, Hashem said, give a Karban Pesach. What's the Karban Pesach? It's a Karban Toda. It's a Thanksgiving offering. So that's what we say, Shebechol HaLeilos, all of the nights when we have Thanksgiving offerings, we have chametz u'matzah. We have a part of the carbon toda, chametz loaves, and matzah loaves. But now, alayla zeh, on this night, kulo matzah, it's all matzah. Why do we have all matzah? Normally, as carbon toad, has chametz with it. Part of the toad is chametz. So why don't we, this is a Thanksgiving offering, there should be chametz. That's the question. Shabbachal alaylos, all of the nights, when we have a toad offering, the toad offering is chametz and matzah. So alayla zeh, this night, the carbon pesach is a form of a todah, it's a form of a Thanksgiving offering. Why is there no chametz? Why is it only matzah? The answer is, the Karban Pesach is more than a Todah offering. It's more than a Thanksgiving offering. The Karban Pesach is that we became new people. It's not a Karban Todah. It's a Karban Miluin. It's the sacrifice of dedication. When Aaron, on the eighth day of the dedication of the Mishkan, is going to be inaugurated with the new holiness of being a Kohen, he brings special sacrifices. Those sacrifices of inauguration, of dedication, of sanctification of the priests, those are sacrifices that are appropriate because a person reaches a new holy spiritual level. On Seder night, we reach a new holy spiritual level. And because we reach a new holy spiritual level, we bring a Karban Miluim. The Karban Miluim was never accompanied with Chametz. And that's why Halayla Zeh on this night, it's Kulo Matzah. It's all matzah. When we get to Maggid, we should realize there's an amazing passage of the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says, when you say the story of leaving Egypt, all the malachim, all the angels come in order to hear you say the story. And when you say it with joy and with thanksgiving, and you're so thankful that Hashem did this great miracle for you, taking you out of Egypt, Hashem says, I invite you to join me in sharing my praise in the world to come, when Mashiach will come. It's all through the special merit of telling the story of leaving Egypt. The Halakha Yesod Yosef writes, anyone who says the praises and the story of the Haggadah with joy and with celebration, without any laziness, without any frustration, not feeling that it's a burden, but with tremendous excitement, he should know that the wings of the Shekhinah are going to be spread over him to protect him constantly and to do miracles for him. Saying the story of Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim with joy, that can accomplish tremendous, tremendous blessings. Unbelievably special, special blessings. So we know that we begin the Manishtana with the famous phrase, V'kana ben Shoel. Here the child asks, say the Hasidim, we are all children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our father. So when we say the Manishtana, we can turn to Hashem and we can say, Manishtana, why is it different? Why do we have so many difficulties? And why don't we have salvation? And HaBen Shoel, the child can ask, and the Father in heaven is going to listen, he's going to accept. It's an amazing power to daven on Pesach. Think about the whole story of Purim, right? The story of Purim happens on Pesach. On the 13th of Nisan, that's when Haman throws the lots, and he gets the decree, and he sends out the letters, and Mordechai starts making a ruckus in the streets, and Esther says, well, if you want me to go to Pari, you need to fast for the next 3 days. Understand, the decree is for 12 months from now. Why go make a ruckus now? Why make a ruckus now? You have 12 months to work on the problem. You deal with it later. The answer is, it's such a big problem. Mordechai needed Pesach Dika Davening. He needed the requests on Pesach. Because on Pesach, Kana Ben Shoel, now the child can ask his Father in heaven to grant him all sorts of requests. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants it during the night of Pesach. The Maharal says an amazing thing. There is a skula that on Pesach night, the person can pray for children. Families that haven't yet merited to have children can ask Hashem, especially on Pesach night, for children. There's a skula that they'll get children. Why? Because the Gemara says in Maseches Tanis that the power of childbirth is directly in the hands of Hashem. Hashem didn't give the key of childbirth to an angel. Hashem does it himself. But on Seder night, what do we say? How did Hashem take us out of Egypt? Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, ani v'lo shliach. It was me, not an angel, not a saraf, not an emissary. It was just Hashem himself. So on Seder night, it's recreated again every year that Hashem himself is taking us out. And when Hashem himself is taking us out, then, we can also get another miracle from Hashem himself. We can merit that he'll grant children, which is also something totally in his power. It's an amazing idea that's suggested by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. We say in the Haggadah, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, blessed is God, blessed is He. Baruch Shenasan Torah La'am Yisrael, blessed is the one who gave his Torah to the Jewish people. Baruch Hu, blessed is He. K'neged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah speaks about four different sons. Four different times the Torah says that your son might ask you and you should give him an answer. That's a reference to four different sons. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad She'enu Yodei Alishol. So one second, what does that have to do with Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, blessed is God, blessed is the one who gave the Torah? Says Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, in all disciplines, there are different textbooks for different levels of children. You know, a little kid, he's going to use a math book that's very elementary. And the guy who's doing the postdoctoral mathematical calculations has a book of so many equations. The little kid can't understand it at all. And for the guy who's doing the postdoc in math, he's totally unimpressed with the simple, you know, 1 plus 1 or 3 plus 4. But the Torah is different. The same Torah that our first graders learn, Bereshis and Noach and Lech Lecha, that's what the biggest Torah giant, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, is learning. He learns the same Torah. That only can come from Hashem. Only Hashem can write a book that can speak to every single person on every single level. So we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, blessed is God, blessed is He. Baruch Shenasan Torah L'Am Yisrael, blessed is the one who gave the Torah. And we know that the Torah was given by Him, was given from Him, and He gave it because K'neged Arba Banim Dibra Torah. The Torah speaks to every single child. Every single level can attach to the Torah and can gain from the Torah. The Torah can give him tremendous guidance, tremendous insights. So we say about the four sons, Chachama Omer, what does the wise one say? What are the laws and the statutes and the testimonies that God, your Lord, has commanded you? You should tell him, like the laws of Pesach, don't eat anything after the Afikoman. So the question is, what does this have to do with his question? He asks, what are the laws and the statutes that God, our Lord, has commanded you? You tell him Afikoman, that's one law, it's only one aspect. So the Shem Yishmuel says a very powerful explanation. He's asking, what are the laws and the testimonies and the statutes asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem, that God our Lord commanded you? Why did Hashem have to give commandments? Why did Hashem have to say you have to do this? Hashem could have said, it's an amazing thing to have Shabbos. Seth shared with me the other week that in the Wall Street Journal there's a movement for digital Sabbath. That on one day a week, puts down the phones and turns it off. Digital Sabbath. Hashem could have said, listen, I'm giving you a day that's going to save you from being drug addicts. It's called Sabbath. You're going to be able to have a huge competitive advantage over all your competitors. You're going to have the ability to think straight. And that should be enough. Tell us about the benefits of Shabbos. You'll have a day which is a present from my treasure house. Why does Hashem say you have to keep Shabbos, and if we don't keep Shabbos, then we deserve to be stoned to death? Why say that? Why not just say, it's an amazing gift. Why give an obligation? You know, at the end, that's what the Chacham is asking. What are the laws and the statutes? Asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. That Hashem our God commanded you. Not what are they? He knows what they are. He's a Chacham. He's a wise man. He's saying, why the commandment? Why not just say, these are really good things, and then we'll do it on our own? The answer is, if Hashem would say these are really good things, and we could do it on our own, then it would be us choosing to do it. It wouldn't be Hashem doing it. But if we're commanded, and we do because we're commanded, then we're soldiers. We're just following orders. And if we're soldiers who are following orders, then it's really the commander who is doing it. The soldier is representing the commander. Hashem gave us orders, so then when we do it, it's really Hashem's doing. The reason why we have commandments is that we could be soldiers. And when we do it, it's Hashem doing it, because we're just following His order. It's nothing about us, it's what He wants. That gives it power. It's Hashem's mitzvah. It has the power to impact the whole world now, because it's Hashem doing it. It's tremendous power in it. That's represented by this law, don't eat anything after Afikoman. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the idea of the law, don't eat anything after Afikoman, is I'm sitting at the king's table. I just ate from Hashem's meal. And if I eat from Hashem's meal, I'm not going to say, oh, I'm still hungry. I still want something else. I'd like to have some strawberry shortcake after I had Hashem's dessert. I got Hashem's meal. That's everything. I don't need anything else. The idea is I have Afikoman. I have from Hashem. I have everything. In other words, Afikoman, not eating anything after Afikoman, is to teach us that we are representing Hashem and getting from Hashem's food. Oh, then we have to have a commandment. If we don't have a commandment, then we're doing it on our own, then we don't represent Hashem in this mitzvah. Okay, another very, very powerful point. We say in the Haggadah about the Sheni Yodei Lishol, At Ptachlo, you open up for him. You should know that the Halakha Dinav Rebbe, the Bnei Yisrael. Did you go to Dinav when you were in Poland? You didn't go to Dinav. The Dinav Rebbe said, believe me, the best one is the Sheni Yodei Lishol. Because the Sheni Yodei Lishol, he doesn't know how to ask. Whatever Hashem says, he does. He doesn't ask anything. He just does whatever Hashem says. That's the highest, better than the Chacham. That's what the Dinav Rebbe says. So what does it say? At Psachlo, you open up for him and you tell him, V'yigadat levincha bayoma hu leimor, tell your child on this day, saying, Ba'avur zeh, for the sake of this, Asa Hashem li, God did for me, b'tzeis min Mitzrayim, when I left Egypt. So we have a problem here. When do we tell the story of leaving Egypt? At night. You can't say it by day. We say later in the Haggadah, Yachal mi b'Rosh Chodesh. You might think, but you could do it earlier. On the Rosh Chodesh, Yachal mi b'Od Yom, maybe during the day. No, it has to be b'Avur Zeh, when you can look at it and say, this is the Matzah, this is the Mar, this is the Pesach. That's why I'm telling you the story. So why does it say, V'yigadat levincha b'yom hu leimor, tell your son on that day? It's not that day, it's that night. Let's listen to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. You have to tell your son that this night is not night, this night is day. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that you can only say Hallel by day. Because the verse says, Mimizrach Shemesh ad mevo'o mehulal Shem Hashem. From the rise of the sun until it sets, Hashem's name is praised. You can only say Hallel by day. We say Hallel at night, Seder night. Why? Because Seder night is not night, it's day. There's such a great light. There's so much holiness. There's so much presence of Hashem. It's day. And you have to tell your son, this night is so special. It's Leil Shimurim LaHashem. It's the night that Hashem anticipates. It's the night Hashem hopes for. It's the night Hashem loves. That there's such a revelation. It's day. You know, night is a time of all sorts of problems, of darkness, misfortune. There's so much holiness on this night. There's the holiness that would be during the day. This is Laila Kayom Yair. This is a night that's shining like the day. That's what you tell the Sheni Yodei Lishol. You need to know that this is Bayom Ahu. This is this day. It's not a night. It is a day. It is a day that's shining as if it's totally day. We then go on. We say, Yochel Rosh Chodesh. Maybe I would think that you should start from Rosh Chodesh, Tamalomer Bayom Ahu, that's what it says on that day. Yachal, Ibayom Ahu, if it says that day, maybe Mibod Yom, I think you could do it during the day. Tamalomer Ba'avur Zeh, that's what it says because of this. Ba'avur Zeh, because of this. Lo Amarti, I didn't say it al B'Shah, Sheish Matzah Umarar, Munachan Lefanechon. You have Matzah and Mor in front of you. Reb Mordechai Mirons says that the first Seder he had after World War II, he had it at the table of the Ger Rebbe of the Beis Yisrael. So the Ger Rebbe said like this. What do we say? Yochel Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought that you should start telling the story in Rosh Chodesh. Tamalom B'Yom Ahu. That's what it says, B'Yom Ahu. There's some people think that in Rosh Chodesh, when it's the beginning of the month, when it's good times, that's when you can praise God. That's when you can serve God. That's what the Torah says, Bayom Ahu, on that day. On that day, even if it's not a good time. On that day, you have to fulfill the obligation of that day. But people say, well, still, it's still that day. It's still an optimistic time. Then I'll serve God. So Yochmi Bojo, maybe you only serve God when it's daylight, when it's optimistic. No, Bishah Shiesh Matzo Moror Munachim Lefanecha. Even if what you have in front of you is bitter herbs, even if what you have is matzah, all sorts of poverty, even then we serve God and we have to praise God. In all situations, we have to praise God. We then go on to say, Mitchila, initially, Ov de Avodah Zarah Hayu Avosenu. Our ancestors were idol worshippers. V'achshav Kervanu Amakam L'Avodaso. But now God brought us close to His service. So say the Chassidim. Mitchila, if you're always looking about what was before, then it's Ov de Avodah Zarah. Because there are people who get depressed. They say, you know, I did this, I did that. How can I do anything? I'm so down. No, Mitchila, if you're always looking at it before, it's Ov de Avodah Zarah. But if you're saying, I don't care about what was before, I care about now. Now I have a chance to be good going forward. Then kervanu amakum lavodaso. That's what God brings us close to His service. Going from now on, I can start from now, it's a new day, and I can begin from now. Forget about what was before. Now I'm starting all afresh. It's Seder night, I become a new person. Then I can become a whole new person. They say a story, Melech Biderman says, of the chassid, Reb Yudah Leib Slonim. That one year you were saying this line, Ba'achshav kevanu amakum l'avodaso. Now Hashem brought us back to His service. He started beating the table. Ba'achshav, ba'achshav, ba'achshav. Now Hashem brought us back to His service. So he was hitting the table so hard, he started breaking the glass vessels on the table, and the candles went out. And he's screaming, Ba'achshav, ba'achshav, ba'achshav. And then he said, kevanu amakum l'avodaso. Hashem brought us close to His service. He's saying, and now we're close to His service. Now Hashem brought us close to His service. I can start from now, and that's how I can become close to the service. The main thing is to serve Him from now and to look forward in terms of what I can do for now. In fact, Chassidim say, on another similar lesson, we say, V'hi sh'amdol avoseinu v'lanu. This is what has stood for our ancestors and us. Shelo echad bilvad. Not only one, Amar Aleinu L'Chalaseinu, is one who stood against us to destroy us. Elo, but only Shebechol Dor V'Dor Omdim Aleinu L'Chalaseinu, and every generation they want to wipe us out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyadam, and Hashem saves us from their hand. So many times a person has a moment, he wants to do a good thing. He says, you know, I'm not going to stick with it. You know, like going to Minyan or going to Daf Yomi. You know, I want to do it, but I'm not going to stick with it. So why should I do it? I only do it once. So we say, Shelo echad bilvad. The people who say, well, it's only one time. That's Amar Aleinu L'Chalaseinu. That's what stands to wipe us out. They say, it's only going to be once. I'm not going to do it. That's what wipes us out. You should say, no. One time is a big thing. You know, one time. Who knows what one time is? One time of going to Minyan. One time of learning. It's an amazing privilege. So if I go with the attitude, I'm going to take advantage of every chance of one time. That's what's going to save us from all of the disasters. That's what's going to get us to ultimately get close to Hashem and to serve Hashem. Anyway, these are some highlights for the upcoming Seder. We should all merit to hopefully celebrate in the Beis Hamikdash. And we'll eat from the Karban Pesach this year in Yerushalayim. Amen.